There we go, just right over here. Good morning, everybody. This is a special day. My name is Shelley Knight. I'm the Littles Minister, and I get the joy of bringing all of these sweet kindergarten kids to you today. Here we go. We're just going to line right here. Lex, right here. There we go. We're just going to stay right here. Okay, here they are. Look how cute. Here they are. All right. So, parents, I just want to show you this Gospel Storybook Bible, the Beginner's Gospel Storybook Bible. We have been following along every Sunday. We do this in Littles. This is a great resource if you guys want to reinforce that at home. But these Littles have been learning all about who God is. They've been learning that the Bible is true. They've been learning that Jesus loves them. And they've been learning that he is our rescuer and that he died for our sins. And so they've learned all of these concepts, and they are ready now to move over to kinder. As sad as I am to lose them, I'm very excited about what they're going to learn next with Miss Jessica.
Thank you, Miss Shelley. Yes, we are so excited to invite these kindergartners in with us. As they enter kindergarten this year, we'll be studying the Jesus Storybook Bible. And so if you have that at home, parents, read that along with your kiddos. And so our goal is, as they read that, they would understand that the story of what Jesus did for us on the cross is woven throughout Scripture. And that's a beginning foundation that we lay with them. And then as they get into kids' church, we start to put those building blocks in place. And then we get to my incoming sixth graders, our old fifth graders. Where are my old fifth graders at? If y'all are a new sixth grader, will you come down right now? I'm going to invite you down. Come stand right in the front and get a journal from Davis or Miss Brittany. The beauty is what they've been doing those years in kids' church and this last couple years in fourth and fifth grade is they've been working through the New City Catechism, and that is doctrine, it's theology, it's building that framework so that they can start launching into middle school. We wanted to see them take ownership of their faith, and they've done that. They've been in Bible studies. They've gotten into God's word on their own. We took several to camp and we saw that really flourish. And so we are able to point this awesome group of students, I get to hand over to Davis, and I couldn't be more proud of this crew that's going with Davis.
Yes, yes. Give it up for them. Yes. Hello, church. We haven't gotten a chance to meet. My name is Davis Holbert. I'm the student minister, and I'm so excited to welcome each of these sixth graders into student ministry. Something we're passionate about at City Church Students is helping students walk independently dependent in their faith. What that means is that we want them to begin to take steps in your household to walk independently with the Lord on their own, because there is going to come a day through these next 7 years where you are going to send them out into the world, hopefully as faithful followers of Jesus. And we're striving to work towards that day. We gifted each of you guys, sixth graders, a journal, because you're going to get to join your parents on Sunday mornings. You're going to not be in kids' church anymore, but you're going to be here in the sanctuary with all of us. And you're also going to get to come on Wednesday nights. We get to start up this week at 6:30 with our first Wednesday nights. So excited for that. Sixth graders, really excited for you guys to join us, and really thankful for all of these kindergartners and sixth graders. I'm going to welcome Pastor Ryan up here.
Yeah. Wow, look at this. You know, someone shared with me after our first service, when we had a group of kindergartners and a group of sixth graders, not quite even as many as this, and this is a testimony to the life that is in our church. What a gift it is to have the next generation as a part of our family, and we're so thankful. And parents, I just want to encourage you. We say this every year, but do you see how they are holding on to their Bibles? Nathan right here just clinging to God's word. Our prayer and our hope is that you would model that for them at home, that they wouldn't just say, oh, we cling to our Bibles and we turn to God's word on Sunday mornings, but that they would see you as moms and dads clinging to God's word, building your life on God's word. And so let this just be a picture to you to encourage you to walk in that way, because as they continue to grow up, they do turn into sixth graders. And sixth graders then grow up, as Davis said. And the reason that we celebrate this day, Yes, it's to mark a milestone in the life of our church and a milestone for these kids, but it really is for us to testify together that God is moving in our midst and he's moving in the next generation. And we invite sixth graders very intentionally to join with us in worship here at City Church. It's not because we don't have space for them elsewhere, but it's because we want them to learn what it means to be a part of the body of Christ. And so it's very intentional that we welcome sixth grade students to join us beginning in sixth grade to be a part of this body. Because what we want them to learn is that one day they're going to go out, and we don't want them to leave this place and the first time they ever experience being a part of the body of Christ being when they've left our care. And so they're here with us intentionally. And so sixth grade students, you get to join us on Sunday mornings, and you're going to have to. You get to listen to me every now and again, though. Yeah, you're going to listen to a sermon. You're going to get to join Davis on Wednesday nights, and you're going to get to continue to grow in your faith. And we are so thankful. Church, let's welcome the sixth graders to our worship service with us. Yeah. We love you, and we love that you are with us to begin to grow in your faith. And as Davis said, independently dependent on Jesus is what we want to see in your lives. Parents, if you are a parent of a kindergartner or of a sixth grader, would you stand up for us? Yeah, wave at them. Now your kids can see you, especially the kindergartners. The sixth graders are like, why is my mom and dad looking at me? They don't even want to see you. I know that's just the way it kind of goes with the territory. But we wanted to ask you to stand because, church family, we want to pray both for these kids, but also pray for you as parents. Because obviously, some of you this week dropped your little ones off to a new place, and I understand all the emotions that came with that. And some of you are welcoming your sixth grade students into worship and to sit and stand with you as we worship Jesus. And this is a new moment. And so we just want to pray for you that God would continue to raise us up and raise up this next generation. So church family, if you would just extend a hand towards one of the parents that you see standing and join me as we pray and give God thanks for this time. Heavenly Father, we thank you for these children. Lord, we thank you for what you are doing in this place, raising up the next generation of Christ followers, of disciples, of disciple makers. So we thank you for each and every one of these kids that as we celebrate, every time we have a dedication in this church, we understand that each and every one of these children are a gift from you, entrusted first to their parents, and then entrusted to us collectively as your body, as a family. And so we thank you for their lives. From the littlest ones here in kindergarten that are taking a new step, going into a new classroom, beginning to learn new things with Miss Jessica and the team that leads them, Lord, we just pray that you would continue to draw them close to you, that they would come to know you as their Lord and Savior. And Lord, we thank you for these sixth graders, many of whom have taken a step of faith, who have declared that you are Lord. And we pray that you would continue to raise them up to make them look more like you, Jesus. Would you help us to be faithful to them? And we bless and give you thanks for these parents. Lord, each and every one of them is entering a new season of parenting. And so we just pray that you would give them all the wisdom, the endurance. Just bless them, Lord. Give them strength. Help them to keep their eyes on you so that their children see a mom and a dad that are dependent on Jesus. They don't have to wonder what it looks like to depend on Jesus. They can say, I know I've got a mom and a dad that they love Jesus and depend on him. So we pray that you would bless them, Lord, in this new season. I thank you so much for our next gen team. It's an amazing team. Lord, I thank you for Miss Shelley and how she's poured into these little kindergartners and all the service team, that the volunteers that have served with her to teach them your word. Lord, I thank you for Miss Jessica and all those that serve with her that are going to pour into them now, that have poured into these sixth graders. We've seen so many of these kids baptized because of the ministry, both at home and here. So we thank you for them. And we thank you for Davis and all of those student leaders that are going to meet these sixth graders this Wednesday night. Lord, we pray that you would just continue to bless them. Lord, thank you that we can testify that you are moving in our midst. Children are a beautiful gift, a heritage from the Lord. And so we just ask you'd help us to continually point them to you in all that we do. We pray all these things in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Thank you. All right, kids, let's think we're going to go this way.
To a virgin came the word, from a throne of endless glory to a cradle in the dirt. Oh, praise the Father, praise the Son, praise the God of glory, majesty, praise forever to the King of Kings. To reveal the kingdom coming and to reconcile the our salvation, Jesus, for our sake you died. Oh, praise the Father, praise the Son, praise the Spirit, three in one, God of glory, that stone was moved for good, for the Lamb had conquered death, amen. And the dead rose from their tombs, and the angels stood in awe, for the souls of all who come to the Father are restored. And the church of Christ was born, then the Spirit in the flame. Now this gospel's true. Shall not kneel, shall not fade, by his blood and in his name, in his freedom. Here I am to say that you're my God. You're altogether lovely and altogether worthy, altogether wonderful to me. Lord, we worship you for who you are and who you've been and who you're going to be. As we look back, we see your activity in our lives, and you've saved us, you set us free, but then also you've just been there with us in the fire, with us in the joy and in the hurt. That's who you are. You make things right, yeah, and you're making things right, but you're also with us in the journey. And when you begin things, you finish them. I know your timing is not mine for sure, and I wish sometimes you'd finish them a lot faster, but I know you're with me, even during. So I thank you for that. Thank you for your word and your spirit. Guide us now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.
Amen. You may be seated. And once again, good morning. So good to see you all. You could say good morning back, more than just the front row. Good morning. I see you over there. Good morning. Such a joy. I just am, I'm just a little bit in awe still that we're in this room. What a special gift from the Lord this place is. And we're so thankful that you are here. As we move into this new room, guests, if you're here for the first time, this is our second week in this new sanctuary, and we're so thankful for what God has done, allowing us. We're thankful for the many people who have sacrificed in many different ways through generosity to allow us to be in this space of worship. And we built this, if you are a guest, so that we would have room for you. And so we're so thankful that we do have a chair. I know it was a little bit tight still, which is just miraculous in and of itself. As I said last week we were, or 2 weeks ago, we were in a room that sat 225 people, and then we build a room that seats 550, and somehow all the seats are still full. And it's just an amazing work of God. I assume, you know, Field of Dreams is just true. If you build it, they will come. And here you are. And we're so glad that you are here. I also want to just remind you that you'll continue to see things changing and improving, we hope. If you see blue tape on the wall, some of you did that when you built a house, just leave that blue tape there. That is so our contractors will be able to know some of the things that they are going to fix. We didn't highlight this before, but for the first time in the life of our church, we have a mother's room. Ladies, I cannot believe that. I figured we get more applause for that. Yes. And so we have a room just for you and your babies. Now, I will confess to you, I learned after the last service, the outlets in that room don't work right now. And so there's going to be some blue tape on those outlets after today. But just know we're continuing to improve. I told you to look for some Easter eggs. Did anybody notice our new furniture in the gathering space? Yeah, beautiful space and beautiful furniture. I'm so thankful. I just now want to sit. But when we first moved to this property, some of you might remember this, our staff officed in the cafe, just in chairs like that. There was no offices. There was no place for us to meet. And so I just sat in a leather chair for about 6 to 8 months. I don't even remember how long it was, but my office was a chair. And so now we do have some offices, but now I just find myself coming back and just sitting up in those chairs all week. I was just so thankful to be up there. Such a beautiful space. But we'll continue to do that. I also want to, just by way of announcement, make you aware of a couple things. There's not really a better place for us to share things like this, so I'm just going to share it now. If you are a family with young children and you drop off in littles, we pray next weekend our baby rooms, our new baby rooms, which are going to be awesome, they're going to be open next week, we pray, by God's grace. Y'all can all pray that with me, by the way, starting right now. And if you have a little one, you can come up to the top of the hill. So you can drive around the top of the hill and you can come and drop off. There's going to be a spot there that's just noted as Little's drop off. And so I've seen you moms just beast moding it with those carriers up all those steps and along the long journey through the desert of our sidewalk. And so you're welcome to do that, but we also would just welcome you. You can just get dropped off there and just walk your way to the closest entrance to our Little's ministry. We're going to be adding some parking as well over here to this side of the building, so more of you will be able to get a little bit closer and just make your journey up the big steps. And so look for these things over the next few weeks, and we just thank God for the blessing of being able to celebrate all that he is doing here. Lastly, I just want to echo Pastor Kyle's announcement about our midweek ministries and really encourage you to take that seriously. We just had your children, many of your children, standing on the platform. The greatest thing that can really serve your children is a greater understanding of God's word, a deeper devotion to Christ, a healthy and strong marriage. And so those midweek things that we offer, both Re-Engage as well as our doctrine and devotion class, our gospel class, they're to help you grow in that. And so I want to encourage you to take advantage of those and do text events to 75709 so you can get registered for those. This morning, now to the Word of God, we're going to continue in this short series looking at city groups and this new sort of direction in the life of our church. If you have been here for a little while, it wouldn't shock me if you asked yourself, why are we doing this? I've had that question before. And what is the reason for spending these number of weeks talking about this shift? Well, the reason that we're spending some time on this is because it is a major shift in the way that we organize ourselves, the way that we do life together as a church family. As we talked about in the first week of this series, there is three identities. Now, there's really many, many identities that we have as Christ followers, but we've looked at three of those in the way that they play out in our daily lives. We are worshipers of Jesus, and we are also a family of God. Third identity, we are disciples and disciple makers. We do these three things. That's sort of what it looks like to be a Christian, to be a worshiper, to live together in the family of God, and also to be a disciple maker. Well, we get to do that together. On Sunday mornings, we are primarily worshipers. Of course, we are being discipled. We would not spend all this time together if it wasn't doing something more than simply worship. But as worshipers, we are studying the Word of God, submitting our lives to the Word of God, growing as disciples. What we're doing on Sunday mornings most often is we are worshiping. We are submitting our lives to Jesus as Lord and worshiping him. We are also called to be a family. Well, how do we live life together as a family, especially as our family is growing? I just told you, we have literally doubled in size in 1 week. I don't know how that happens, but that's just the miraculous nature of God. And we're so thankful that you're all here. But how do we continue to live our lives together as a family? And that is where city groups helps us to live out of that identity, to encourage us in that identity. And then we are also, as that third identity, we're disciple makers and we're disciples. And we get to do that together in what we've done for a long, long time, something called fight clubs, where small groups of friends get together to fight for the gospel and to fight the fight of faith. And so we live out these three identities, and as we're growing so rapidly, that identity as being a family is where we are putting a lot of attention. And that's the reason for this idea of city groups, this new work that we're doing. If you've been around for a little bit of time, that's the why. But let me answer those of you that are brand new to our church, and those of you that have been around a little while, listen to this answer. And this will also give you some clarity around this. You're asking, why is this church spending so much time talking about this thing called city groups? What does it mean? What's it all for? Well, we want you, if this is your first week, first month, just a new season for you, we want you to experience the family of God in the way that many of us have experienced the family of God since the early days of this church. And if we're going to experience that, I think about those early days. I shared a little bit about that. You heard testimonies from James and Leanne and Kate and Tyson last week, if you were with us in our dedication Sunday, if we're going to experience those same types of things that they testify to of what God has done, we want you to know that we care for you, and city groups is the best way for us to make that happen. And so that's why. And so this is why we're giving such attention. This isn't just some strategy. This is rooted in God's word. In the first week of our series, we looked at Ephesians chapter 2. And Ephesians chapter 2 helps us answer the question, what did Jesus die to create? And Paul says to the church in Ephesus that Jesus died to take the two men, symbolically Jews and Gentiles, and make them one new man. When we look at the work of Jesus Christ and we look at what the gospel does, he takes a diverse group of people, people that have really nothing in common from an earthly standpoint, and he makes us a new creation, the family of God. That's what he died to create. And if he died to create that, then we should take seriously this calling to live together as a family. The next week we looked at Ephesians chapter 4, and Jonathan preaching that text helps us to see how we practically do this together, what the Spirit of God does in us as we live together as a family. And I think about some of you that maybe, again, this is your first time here. I think about some of you in this room that are our seniors that are about to head off to college. Some of you maybe are visitors here just visiting family and friends. And let me encourage you in this. Wherever you live, whatever church family you're a part of, Christ died to establish you as a family. And so City Church might not be the family that he's called you into, but wherever you go, wherever you are, he has called you to be a part of the family of God. And so I hope that this morning, even though it's somewhat specific to as how we're living together here at City Church, you would hear this word and you would know this is good news for you to see what the Spirit of God does. And where we're going to look is Acts chapter 2, where the Holy Spirit came in the very beginning of the church. And the same Holy Spirit that was at work in Acts chapter 2 is the same Holy Spirit who is working today in us. And if that same Holy Spirit was at work in Acts chapter 2 and he's working today, then we can know that some of the same things that they experienced, if we would submit our lives to Christ as they did, we would live in obedience to the work of the Spirit, we're going to experience some of the same things that they did. And so that takes me to our text this morning, Acts chapter 2, verse 38 through 47. If you're able, I invite you to stand out of reverence for God's word as I read our passage. And Peter said to them, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. And you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is for you and for your children and for all who are far off, everyone whom the Lord our God calls to himself." And with many other words, he bore witness and continued to exhort them, saying, "Save yourselves from this crooked generation," so that those who received his word were baptized, and there were added that day about 3,000 souls. And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. And awe came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles. And all who believed were together and had all things in common. And they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as any had need. And day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having favor with all people. And the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved. This is the word of the Lord. Amen. You may be seated. So what's happening?